You were always an independent devotee. You were always an independent devotee, Tribhuvanath, and full of surprises. You were unpredictable because you made your own plans to serve Prabhupada and Krishna in the way that only you knew or even dared. Even down to the last, you did it your way. You took us all by surprise and you quietly slipped away, far from the crowds who so unsettled you. Your independence made you an exciting person to be with. Your relationship with Prabhupada was so real to you that it became real for whoever was with you as well. I felt nearer to Prabhupada when I was with you. That independence was really a complete dependence on Krishna, but it was not always understood, especially by managers who tried to control you. They didn't know that you got your orders from Prabhupada. When I first joined the temple, I often used to hear you say, "Prabhupada says," and then you would quote an instruction, always a suitable saying for the occasion. You spoke with such authority that I believed you must have spent a lot of time with Prabhupada. So one day I asked you, "When had you heard all these things that Prabhupada says?" You were surprised. "I haven't met Prabhupada yet." "But I've read all these things in his books," as if it were obvious. Yet though we all read the same books, you seemed to know Prabhupada in a way that others didn't. With you, Prabhupada came to life. That following summer, Prabhupada came to London and most of us met him for the first time. You were selected to give him a garland at the airport, a garland that reached to the floor. You were the natural choice because you were our star, and we felt proud to see you representing us. In the weeks that followed, and in subsequent years, whenever Prabhupada came, I saw he always had eyes specially for you. I wasn't the only one to notice this. Prabhupada likes Tribhuvanath. We all knew it. Once, on Prabhupada's first visit to the manor, when the temple room was still the theatre, kirtan got underway at the end of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita lecture. Prabhupada looked grave and we sat round him on the floor chanting. You were the first to stand up with mridanga right in front of him. You started to dance, that crazy flat-footed dance of yours, as someone once called it. Your back straight and erect like a trained actor's, your head back, your weight back on your heels and your feet beating the ground and your head nodding up and down. Your eyes met Prabhupada's and he smiled broadly. Then suddenly, both of you were laughing with each other. Prabhupada so enjoyed watching you, and as your ecstasy increased, so did his. Yours had something to teach me. I came to believe that Krishna spoke through you because you seemed to have the right thing to say at the right moment. I regarded you as an oracle of truth, and I can look back upon key moments when you enlightened me with flashes of insight. When you shaved my head on that first day in the temple, I said joyfully, "It feels so good to be surrendered to Krishna at last." Your reply was grave. "Surrender is not so easy as having your head shaved," you said. "It takes time to learn." We were only a few, and not long afterwards, one devotee left, unable to continue the hard lessons of temple life. I worried how we would manage without him. "Prabhupada says, no one is indispensable," you assured me. In Manchester, I was always struggling to cope, and I think you knew that I needed encouragement. You used to come and visit me, although you were very busy in Edinburgh. And I will always be grateful for the friendship and support you showed me at a time when I felt alone and overwhelmed. You showed me love and unquestioning acceptance. You made me have confidence in myself by demonstrating your own confidence in yourself and in Krishna's protection. What greater gift can anyone give to their brother than belief in themselves and in Krishna's boundless love? That's where you got your immense courage. Perhaps you were influenced by your childhood experiences. When Krishna separated you from your family at such a young age, you learned to be independent of the world. When, as a 17-year-old, you came to London and met the devotees, you held nothing back. You threw yourself upon Krishna's mercy and accepted Prabhupada as your father without reservation. In your last year, when your health began to deteriorate, you started losing energy, and you didn't know why. You told me that you found all you wanted to do was read Prabhupada's books, which you were enjoying immensely. You had never been able to find the time before, you said, because you were always running around, busy serving Prabhupada, and you found it just too hard to sit and read. But now, you had discovered a deep taste for reading about Krishna, and you were surprised and very happy. I think this was Krishna's way of rewarding you for having been such a loyal and hard-working servant. After you learned you had cancer, you came to see me. It really came as a surprise to me to discover how humble your opinion was of yourself. You thought Krishna was teaching you a good lesson. "I'm not frightened of anything," you said. "That's my problem. I'm too hard-hearted." And Krishna had sent you your illness to soften your heart. That's what you believed. "Only the soft-hearted can serve Radharani," you said. In the end, when your body was frail, your spirit shone stronger than ever. You were joyful, totally without fear, and your eyes sparkled. "What can you tell me?" I begged to know, the day before you left for Brazil for the last time. "You are between life and death. What do you see?" Prabhupada is warning us. Don't take the illusion too seriously. You reprimanded me ever so lovingly, your voice grave as the first time you instructed me. Thank you, Tribhuvanath, for your lifelong friendship.